Well, I didn't start out as it being Christmas when I started working on this lesson. I think Jerry and Sam and I were talking, and all of a sudden this topic came to mind. So I've been working on it for months. We'll see what the end product is. But we want to look at Jesus's first trip to the temple and look at the people involved in this. There's five different people we want to look at. So I think we can learn something from each one of them. We are in the various stages of life that these folks are in. Most of us are somewhere in that range. And that's what I want to do. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray for your words tonight. Help me to say the right thing in the right way. Help me to say just the things that need to be said. We pray that you would receive honor and glory from what we do. We pray that your spirit would work in our hearts. Help us as Christians to draw closer to you, to love you and to serve you. We pray for the lost that they would see Jesus Christ as Savior. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, Luke writes for us, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Before Jesus was born, I want to look at Joseph and Mary just a little bit, their character. Before Jesus was born, Mary, the angel appeared to Mary and told her she would have a child. And that was quite a shock to her, I'm sure. But notice that she was a clean and pure young woman. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. She got God's attention somehow with her clean and pure life. I don't think she set out to have the Lord Jesus, but she lived a life that made her eligible, and the Lord chose her. That was his choice. She was a clean and pure young woman. And then after the angel explained what was going to happen, in verse 38, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary submitted to the word of God. I'm not real sure that an angel is going to appear to any of us. I don't think so. We have the word of God. And as we study and read and we hear sermons and we're teaching and we're hearing, if we're obedient to the word of God, then God will certainly bless us in the sense of we're his child. He'll watch over us. He'll keep us. And Mary was obedient to what the angel told her. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And then Joseph got wind that she was expecting without him knowing anything about it. And being a just man, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, that Joseph was a just man. He was going to put her away privately, not make a big show of it, but he was going to put her away. And that espousal was like a marriage. It was a contract. So he had to divorce her since she had broken the contract. But the angel appeared to him and explained what was going on. He said that, Behold, in Matthew 1 and verse 23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him. Joseph obeyed what the angel told him to do. And then verse 25, and knew her not until she brought forth the firstborn son and called his name Jesus. So both Mary and Joseph were obedient to the angel of the Lord. They had served God with their life up to that point. Joseph was a just man. Mary had found favor with God. Wouldn't it be nice, or isn't it nice, that God would say to us that you're just, that you found favor with him? I mean, his son worked in our hearts. I mean, his spirit worked in our hearts and saved us. So I think it's safe to say we found favor with God. He saved us. We're his child. And we ought to be like Mary and Joseph, be obedient to what we know and serve him like we ought to. So in Luke chapter 2, they bring Jesus on the eighth day after Jesus was born. He's circumcised, and they call his name Jesus. And then in verse 22, Luke 2 and verse 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, she brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law, in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to offer sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So Jesus, Mary and Joseph were under the law. They wasn't in the church. They wasn't in under grace. They were under the law. And when a woman had a male child, she had to stay at home 40 days. She couldn't participate in the services of the temple or engage in religious services of the congregation. She was had to be separate for 40 days with the male child. With the girl, it was 80 days that she had to be separate from the congregation. We can look back in Leviticus 12, and it explains that to us. Leviticus 12 and verse 3, and the eighth day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So they were obedient to that. And then verse 4, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall not touch the hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. We'll skip down to verse 8. And if she not be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for the burnt offering, the other for the sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So they were following the law. They brought two turtle doves for an offering, or was it pigeons? Anyway, they brought the birds for the offering. Mary and Joseph were poor folks. If they had a little better economic condition, they would have brought a lamb, but they didn't have a lamb. So as we think about that, God puts us in the station of life that we need to be in. Some are better off economically than others, but we're told over and over, don't depend on the riches. Don't depend on the money. It flies away. And if you don't believe me, just ask me. It flies away. So we are really dependent upon God. And sometimes, this is just kind of an opinion of mine, but I think poor folks and farmers ought to depend on God more than anybody else in the whole wide world. Farmers are totally dependent on God for good weather, for rain in the right time, for the right ground conditions, for the right seeds, for everything, and then to harvest at the right time. And folks that are broke are dependent upon God for the next meal. So we ought to be drawing closer and closer to God as we get older and older. Now, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, and it reminded me that many of you have brought your young children here to the church, and dedicated yourself to raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's a very right thing to do, and Mary and Joseph did that. They did it according to the law, and you did it because you wanted to, and because it was the right thing to do. So Mary and Joseph, and they brought the baby Jesus. They were where they should be, when they should be, and by their obedience, Simeon and Anna were blessed. Have you ever thought of that? Your obedience blesses other people. By doing what's right, it's a blessing to other folks. By being here, it's a blessing to me that you're here, and Pastor announced it this morning, and you could have stayed away, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing that you're here, and it's just our obedience is a blessing to other people. All right, let's look at Simeon a little bit now in verse 25, Luke 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Simeon had some age on him. He was distinguished. He was a distinguished man. He was just and devout according to God. That's what God wrote about him, a just man, a devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I've known some men that have really been a blessing to me in my lifetime. Men that were faithful to God for the duration. I've known them for practically all my life, so that would put them in their upper 80s and 90s if they're still living. Some of them have passed away. But it's a real blessing to know men that are devout and just and servants of God for the duration. From the time I've known them as a child till they died, or from then to now. Some of them are still living. But a devout man is one with inward spiritual illumination. He understands the Word of God. He has the correct views of God, of nature, of character, government, worship, who habitually, it's part of his life, he feels and acts and lives under the influence of God. He has respect to God in all things. He gives glory to God in all that he does. He walks, preacher was talking about our walk this morning, he walks in fellowship with God through the storms of the world. Life is not easy, if y'all hadn't figured it out. It's not easy. There's ups and downs. There's battles. There's all kinds of things that come into our life. But a devout man walks with God through all those trials and troubles and temptations. And the good part. Sometimes God blesses us and we want to think, look what I did. Boy, I'm so smart. Not true. It's God's blessings upon us, and we need to remember that in the good times as well as the bad times. He makes, he prays in secret. There's a time for public prayer, but there's a time for private prayer. Going into your closet alone, and I don't want to lose a reward over this, but sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up and I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you and different family members and things like that. And I suspect this true to all of you that wake up in the middle of the night, can't sleep or whatever it is, get up, go to the bathroom, your mind's turning all the time. You're thinking about people's needs and you're thinking about how good God is and all those things. Well, Simeon was a devout man. I think that, and this is opinion, but I think he prayed for people all hours of the day and night. When he'd wake up at night, the things of God were on his mind. He served God in every way. He was devout. He glorified God's name. He was also just. He was right in his character, right in his faith, right in his principles, and his practice was right. His walk was right with the Lord. He was just. The Lord imputed no iniquity to him, and his life is righteous in every way. So that's Simeon, and we should be able to learn from Simeon's devoutness and his justness, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And as I studied that, there was a lot of study on that, a lot of thoughts, a lot of different directions. But he was waiting for the Messiah to come. He knew the scriptures. I think it's safe to say he knew the scriptures. He knew that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that all nations would be blessed through them. He knew that God promised David a son that would rule forever on David's throne. He knew that Isaiah said that a virgin would bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. I'm always amazed and that God took on flesh. Jesus Christ is all God and all flesh. He's human. He's the God-man. It's just, without that, we'd still be lost. He is the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So Simeon knew the scriptures. He knew that Micah had promised that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And he knew the time prophecies in Daniel chapter 9, that it was about time for the Messiah to be born. There was, during that time, from what I've been able to study, there were some people that didn't have a clue what was going on. There were others thinking that the Messiah would be a political leader and come and liberate the nation of Israel, and they would be a political power. And then others were looking for the Messiah to be born and come and live on earth. So whenever Jesus came, that's what Simeon knew. Now look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him upon his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. Simeon was led by the Spirit of God to church, not to church, to the temple. He recognized the Lord when he was carried in. And isn't it amazing? God had promised Simeon he would not die until he saw the Messiah. He had not. Wouldn't you like to have that promise? Hey, we're going to be alive in the rapture. I'd like to have that. I think, my opinion, I'm going out in the rapture. I'm getting out of here alive. Now, that's just opinion, folks. I believe the Lord's coming is imminent. He could come at any time. We just don't know when. So we need to be like Mary and Joseph and Simeon, serving God for the duration. Well, Simeon was faithful. God's timing was perfect. And God fulfilled his promise. Simeon was ready to go. Now, Luke chapter 2 and verse 30, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus' name means Savior. He was a fulfillment of prophecies. And he came not only for the Jews, he came to lighten the Gentiles. The Gentiles were pictured as living in darkness, living in sin, separate from God, in ignorance. And Christ was the light to us. He is the light to us. He came to bring us light, to bring us salvation, and that was one of the reasons he came. In the Old Testament, in Psalm 98 verse 2, The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. That heathen is us, Gentiles. God has openly showed the sight of righteousness to us. And then verse 3 says, he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. So God, Jesus not only came for Israel, but he came for us. And Simeon recognized that and gave testimony of it whenever Mary and Joseph came into the temple. And he was the glory of Israel. Salvation was first offered to the Jews. He was born a Jew. Jesus was born a Jew. The prophecies respecting the Lord Jesus were given to the Jews. And his first ministry was among the Jews. We need to be thankful for the Jews, but he came not only for the Gentiles, he came for the Jews. So he was a fulfillment of that prophecy, and Simeon recognized that. So Simeon said that he could depart in peace now. He'd seen the Lord. He was ready to die. We sometimes think we're going to live forever. The younger I was, I thought I was invincible. Did y'all hear that?
Yep.
Invincible. It don't take long to figure out you're not, does it, Big Jim?
Nope.
It sure doesn't. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you be found of him in peace without spot or blemish. He tells us that we should live like clean and pure lives, kind of the example of Mary and Joseph and Simeon so far, and we should be clean and pure, looking for the Lord to come. Children are eventually going to die too, and the death can only be happy when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, when we're prepared to go. It's a sad time when anyone dies, but it's a lot easier if that person knows the Lord.
Amen.
Your death will be a lot nicer for you if you know the Lord. Now, I want to look at Anna for a couple of minutes. Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. And there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and a widow of 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she, coming to the end that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Israel. So Anna comes in. God's timing is perfect again. She shows up at just the right time. She recognizes the Lord, and she's of great age, just like Simeon, old man. There's a great testimony for women to live for the Lord for the duration, through their older age. I have two examples, personal examples. One is a lady named Anna Addison, and some of you may have known her. But years ago, when I was trying to get through school and seminary, when I go to church, she would say, I'm praying for you. God's going to guide you the way you need to go. She passed away a long time ago, but she was very faithful in encouraging me and helping me during that time, helping my family, and real blessing to us. I think the name of the little booklet she gave me was Faith, Not Worry. And if you've ever left your job, like Pastor describes, left your job, moved out of town, and didn't have a job to go to, didn't know where your income was coming from, it's good to live by faith and know you're doing what God wants you to do, or you won't make it. You won't make it. And she was an encouragement to me. Her name just happened to be Anna. And then I had an Aunt Anna, another godly lady that loved us, that prayed for us, that encouraged us. And she was, both of them were faithful for the duration. They both passed away now. But they both were faithful. So it's good for old men and old women to be faithful to God. It's good for young men and young women to be faithful to God. And it's good for children and teenagers to be faithful to God. I lost my thought. Anyway, we need to give thanks. We need to be the right example. And remember that Jesus is no longer the babe in the manger. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day, we're going to bow before Him. We're either going to bow as God's children, or we're going to bow at the judgment seat. But one day, we're going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate His birth here at Christmas time. We've looked at the character of the people surrounding His birth, or some of them. And we need to live our lives in expectation of Jesus to come. Be faithful for the duration. Let's close in prayer. And Pastor, Father, we thank You for Your word. Help us now to love You, to serve You, and to live for You. Work in our hearts and meet our needs. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.